very concerned about calling today.
I'm listening to this other story. Did you mention the fine that you can now have a type of like a supermarket name or something like that?
No. If you touch, if you pick up the nevela, it's metame you.
Yeah, but would you go out time anyhow?
Yeah, you're allowed to be metame. Even a kohen is permitted to be metame.
Oh, I
kohen is not allowed.
You're just talking about it having a mitzvah.
Yeah, if
I
you
say,
if you touch it, you'll become tame. But there's no
avera.
A kohen is only forbidden to come in contact with a meis adam. Dead.
But
Rabbi, there's
no. The other problem is maybe marasayim. If
okay. Okay, correct.
What's that?
Trying to show that a kohen is not permitted to come in contact with the tumas sheretz. Yeah, the nevelah sheretz. Yeah. So yes, Rabbi Soloveitchik, what do you say about that? So he said it's wrong. What does he ever say? Rabbi Gold has the art site for his father. We dedicate the learning L'Zech Nishmas Moshe Shimon for Moshe Shimon. Okay, last week we learned Tilchof Amadeis, the second wide line. The Gemara is now going to discuss a topic. It's going to go on for a while. A person is walking around and Al-Pidin he's already considered dead and he's Mentami Ba'ohal. Or, let's say a behema. Behema is walking around, jumping around. Bifarcheses means jumping around. And al pi din, the behema is considered an nevela. A dead person is metameh b'maga b'masa b'ohel. A dead behema, if it didn't have a proper shechit, is only metameh b'maga b'masa, not metameh b'ohel. We said a niblas, a sheretz, one of the Chumash lists of Shmoyne Shoratzim, eight specific rodents. So when they are dead, they're metame b'maga, and that's all. Not metame b'masa, not metame b'oham. Nivla seif tohar, that's a quirk. Nivla seif tohar, we spoke last week a little bit. It's only metame. If you have an oif tame, you have a dead eagle. So shchita is not chal on an eagle. See, if you do shchita, it's going to be a nevela. It'll have an isa nevela. So nivla seif tohar is not metame at all. But nivla seif tohar, if you have a chicken and you didn't shecht it, and it died a natural death, or he shechti, he made it in a vela. So then it's metami only be beis abli, not metami be maga if you touch it, not metami be masa if you pick it up, not metami be ohel for sure not, only metami when you swallow it, when it goes down the throat. So that's what last week we mentioned, the three different opinions. Rabbi Yosef Engel pointed out, the three different shitas, betoras what is the nivla soif toha metami a beis abli. Is it that the achilu is metami? So it's even mitzarif a chatzis ice now, with a chatzis ice later, turkade achilas pras. Achilas nivla seif tohar is metame, or is it that it's maga beis astorim, which is usually not metame, and anywhere else maga outside if you touch it, not metame, only maga beis astorim, or Rashi in Sanhedrin writes that it's masa beis astorim. As if you say maga masa, what'll be if it's wrapped up in cellophane or something that's not roi l'achila. So if it's maga, so there's no maga. And if it's masa, the masa will be there. And if it's achila, so then if korcha besiv, if you wrap up some food, let's say you have tray for food, and you wrap it in a capsule, in a plastic capsule. So the plastic capsule is not royal achila. Gemara says that's not called achila. But if you eat a sandwich, so you have bread on the top, bread on the bottom, and salami in the middle, or whatever, tuna fish in the middle, and everything is roi l'achila, so that's called the ma'is achila on everything, even if the food in the middle doesn't touch the throat. That's called achila on everything. Okay, so there are four different tumas that we're going to be talking about. Nivlas Adam, that's called mace. When a human being dies, we call it a mace, we don't call it a nevela. It's more of a kavod. So a mace, if it's a Jewish mace, mentame b'maga b'masa uba'ol. If it's a non-Jewish mace, that's a machlekes hatanoim. When a mace say akam amitami ba'ohel, and not mitami ba'machlekes hatanoim. And the Gemara machlekes, the Rambam and Tosfos had a paskin, whether we say mace akam amitami ba'ohel or not. That's the issue that people keep on tumbling about. Is it permissible for a kohen to go to medical school because they have cadavers all over the place? So he's not going to touch the cadaver. He's just going to be in the same ohel Amei. So the Shulchan Aruch, both the Mechaba and the Ramo, right, that even on Meikar Adin, Meisi Akoma, we really accept the Ramo's opinion, Meisi Akoma, not Matami Ba'oil, but it says, Nochan Lahachmer, proper practice should be that a Kohen should not come in contact with Meisi Akoma. So that's the question, why? If you say Meisi Akoma, not Matami Ba'oil, why is it forbidden? So some say we should be Choshish for Toysus Shita. Toysus Paschim, like the other Tanai, Meisi Akoma, not Matami Ba'oil. Other Achrenim say, not that you're choshish for Tosus, but with choshish, it says a kohen shouldn't go in a goyish cemetery, because in every goyish cemetery, biyadua, there's going to be some mishumodim buried there. So it's not that you're worried about oihel of the Meisi Akim, you're choshish that there's going to be a Meisi Yisrael there. Then be a Jewish mishumod who is metame boil. And then the third opinion was that the kohanim shouldn't go to shouldn't come in contact with Meisi Akim, even though they're not metame ba'oihel. Because the prohibition of a kohen, it says a nefesh meis. How does it say? I call nefesh meis loyov. I forgot already the pasuk beginning of Parshas Emor. It sounds like nefesh should not be metame, shouldn't be metame to a meis. Rabbi Chaim Oizer and Rabbi Chana Basman, who were married to two sisters, both came up independently with a chiddush based on some rishonim that the prohibition is a kohen shouldn't come in contact with a meis, even if it is by some stunt it's not metame yim. You're not allowed to come in contact with a mace. Sometimes, even if it is metamayu, it's mutter because it's not in contact. And sometimes it's not metamayu, and it's still also. The yisur is not so much not to be metame, this is not to come in contact with a mace. So that's a third pshat. Why, if you say mace, how come I'm not metame boil? So why does the Shulchan Aruch, both the Mechaba and the Ramo, they both recommend in the end of Yeridea by Hilchas Avelus, so they say, they have all a few simonim about Tumas Kohanim. So they recommend Kohanim, but they both recommend Mechaba and Ramah for Sfardim and for Ashkenazim. They all recommend that Kohanim should not go to a Goyish cemetery. So that's what Rabbi Chaim Oizer and others explain, because even though it's not, even if Yol is not Metami Boil, still the Kohanim is not allowed to come in contact with Mason, even if it's not going to be Metami him. So the question is, how do you define a living person and a dead person? Or an animal? The Gemara is going to talk about Nivla Saif Tahar and Shratzim, the Shmaina Shratzim and Behemoth and Adam, all four. This sugi is going to talk about all four kinds of tumor. So the question is, what's the definition of life and death? When is the animal considered dead? So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, so there's a Gemara in the end of Yuma. The Gemara in the end of Yuma talks about the dinam of Pikuach Nefesh. So the Gemara says, let's say a building collapsed on Shabbos, on Yom Kippur, a Yontif, whatever, building collapsed on people, and we're not sure if they're alive or dead. So it's going to be a malacha to take a tractor and to start pulling out a lot of malachas, to take pull out all the bricks and to see if the people are alive. And if anyone is alive, you got to take them to the hospital to try to save his life. So the Gemara says, the Hatzolah people come, and they see that the guy's heart is not beating, so then you know that he's dead. Okay. Then the Gemara says, what if he's not breathing? You, what part of the mace did you discover first? So if you discover the nose first, so the Gemara says, try to see if he's breathing. So if he's not breathing, then we assume he's dead. Why? Because the Pasuk says in the Mabul, in Parshas Noach, that the Mabul was affected all the animal, everybody died, and the Pasuk says, Kol Hashanishmas Ruach Chaim B'Yapov, all the animals that were breathing, they all drowned. So the Gemara learns out from that pasuk that breathing determines whether he's alive or dead. If he's not breathing, then we assume that he's dead. Sure. So this was that some Talmid HaChachami came up with an Ein Fala B'Chidush, that what if a person is unable to breathe on his own? He needs a machine to help him breathe. So since the Gemara says the definition of life is breathing, and the person is not able to breathe on his own, he needs a machine to help him breathe, so that person is dead. Right. He doesn't have independent breathing. They add on a word. It has to be independent breathing based on the pasuk, Kol Hashanishmas Ruach Chaim B'Yapov. So this is Al Pi Pashtus, highly questionable, and Pashtus is that it's dead wrong, not just highly questionable. Pashtus is 100% dead wrong. There is a tshuva, there are many hundreds of tshuvas by the Chasam Sofer. So all the tshuvas, he writes on the first line to whom he's writing the tshuva. Here he has a tshuva, Lichvod V'chulei. It doesn't say who it is. why did they take out the name of the person to whom the tshuva was written? because he writes in the middle of the tshuva, are you an apikoros or something? You don't believe in Torah Shem Alpeh, you don't believe in the Gemara. So they took out the name. The one to whom the tshuva was written was very proud of his correspondence with the Chasam Sofer. So he printed the letter. In the Chasam Sofer, you don't have the shayla. She in the Igros Moshe, but Moshe gives you a title and he tells you what the topic is. Then the first paragraph, he explains what the shayla is. And then he tells you what he thinks. Some sefer, he doesn't give you a title. A table of contents, sometimes they give you what the topic is. Some sefer doesn't have, every tshuva has a number, doesn't have a title, and he doesn't always explain what the shayla is. So sometimes you have to read and read till you figure out what the topic is. And some of the tshuvas taka, we're not sure exactly what the shayla was. So here, the one to whom the shayla was, the tshuva was written, was the Maritz Chayis. He's in the back of the Gemara. He was a rabbi in Zalkova, in Galicia, and he had a lot of maskilim in his community. So sometimes he had to appease the maskilim, sometimes he had to take modern positions on things. So he was very proud of his correspondence with the Chasam Sofer, and he published a separate little sefer, My Correspondence with the Chasam Sofer. So he writes his shayla, and then he prints the tshuva, the response that the Chasam Sofer gave him. And you see the Chasam Sofer's tshuva is paragraph by paragraph corresponds to the shayla of the Maritz Chayis. That's a lot of times. If just like this, if you read the Chasam Sofer, you don't read what the shayla was, you don't understand. In the middle of Chasam Sofer says, and the Zomor and the Buchim, middle of nowhere comes up with a Maritz Chayis. The answer is because the Maritz Chayis sent them, there's a Zomor and the Buchim. So he has to deal with that, so he explains. And a lot of times we have other tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer. We don't know what the shayla was, and we don't know what he's alluding to. So here we know exactly what it is. So the Maritz Chayis raised an issue. How can the Gemara say at the end of Yomer, Posik in Parshas Noach, Kol Hashem Nishmas Ruach Chaim Biapov, that the definition of life is breathing? The Rambam was a doctor. The Rambam in the Mor Nebuchim writes that they have a medical volume that was written by Galen. Galen was what? A Roman doctor, yeah. Greek, yeah. I think a Roman doctor. Yeah. And Galen claims in his medical book that they have on record medical history a situation a person stopped breathing for 3 days, and then he came to, and later on he came to. So Freik Dakasha, how can the Gemara say that that breathing is the definition of life and death? This fellow wasn't breathing for 3 days, according to Galen. And then he was able to come back to life later on. So we would have buried him. In Shulchan Aruch it says if a person is not breathing for 15, 20 minutes, a Hevek Adisha should bury him. We assume that he's dead. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Kol Hashem Nishmas Ruach Chaim Biapav. Breathing is the definition of death. So the Chasam Sofer responds to this, and he writes, and as far as that Mor Nebuchim is concerned, he says, breathing is not the definition of life and death. Breathing is a similar dover. When the Rebbeinu Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu the din that when someone dies, kavatik v'rena b'yom ahu, you have to bury him on the same day, he must have told him a definition of when is the person dead. So the Rebbeinu Shlom must have told him, if the guy's not breathing after 15, 20 minutes, you assume that he's dead. Aye, there's a far out chance. Galen says that it once happened someone stopped breathing for 3 days. You're not mechuyev to be choshish for that. That's once in 5 million times. And even though when it comes to pikuach nefashis, you're not allowed to go basarayv. Let's say someone is sick on Shabbos, and we think if we'll drive him to the hospital, there's a slim chance that he'll survive. He's probably going to die anyway, even if you take him to the hospital. He's so injured, but there's a very slim chance. So the din is you don't go basarayv, even though the odds are 99-1 that he's going to die, 100-1 that he's going to die. He's still mechal Shabbos if there's a slim chance. Or if I care, let's say the odds are 99-1 that he's going to survive even if you don't drive him to the hospital. But there's 1% chance, there's a slight chance that he is besakana. So also you have to take him to the hospital. You're not supposed to ask any questions. Whenever there's a slim chance, you don't go basarayv. That's a rayv of 100-1. What if it's a rayv of 5,000,000-1? So that's it. Then you do go basarayv. So the Chasam Sofer says, this pasuk that the Gemara quoted, that's an asmachta. That's not a real drasha. That's not the definition of life and death breathing. We assume that when the Rebbeinu Shlom gave Moshe Rabbeinu the din kavatik v'rena b'yom ahu, you have to bury the person on the same day that he must have given him a simonim. How do you know that the person is dead? Rebbeinu Shlom must have said, if he stops breathing for 15, 20 minutes, that's our tradition, then you bury him. Even though there's a slim chance, there's one chance in 5 million, maybe he's still going to be alive. You're not mechayiv to be choshesh for such a thing. So the Chasam Sefer says, and where did the Tanoim get this idea from with the breathing? They were not doctors. They picked it up from the Goyish doctors of their time. This is what the Goyish doctor said. But a person stops breathing, it's a similar davar that he's already dead. But that's not the definition of life and death. So what is the definition? What is the definition of life if it's not breathing? So the Chasam Sefer doesn't talk about it. But the Pashto says there are other Gemaras. That's what we started speaking about last week. There are other Gemaras. So what is the definition of death? What is it? So there are Gemaras. The din is that if you cause bleeding on Shabbos, that's a malacha. Choyvel b'Shabbos a malacha. Which malacha is it? So there are three different opinions in the Rishonim. Rashi says that it's Tovea. When you make them black and blue mark, it's Tovea. Tosis makes fun of Rashi. They don't agree. The Rambam says that it's a malacha of Disho. Like you squeeze out juice from an orange, squeeze out juice from a grape. There's a malach of disha, so he's squeezing out blood from the organism. So the other Rishonim don't agree with the Rambam. And the accepted opinion is what Tosfos said, that it's a malach of netilas neshama. Why do we accept Tosfos? Because that's what it says in the Yerushalmi. The Acharonim point out, the Yerushalmi says exactly what Tosfos said. Why is it netilas neshama, but the organism is alive? Netilas neshama means he killed the person, he killed the animal. Here the animal is still alive. The answer is, the Pasuk says, Ki Adam hu anefesh. The Pasuk says that the circulatory system, the blood is circulating to supply oxygen to all the parts of the body, and that's what keeps the animal alive. That keeps the person alive, that keeps the animal alive. So when the blood is still circulating oxygen, then the organism is considered alive. When the blood is not circulating oxygen, then the organism is dead. So I think we mentioned last week that Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the shaila, if a person is paralyzed, can it be yotzei l'mitzvah of tefillin if he puts on the left arm? So he says, absolutely yes. How does he know? Because his father had a stroke. His father was Moshe Nefesh to sit in sukkah on Leil Shmini Atzeres, because the chassidim don't sit in sukkah. His father had a show that he doesn't go with the chassidim, and he got a stroke because it was freezing, and he shouldn't have done that. But Rav Moshe was always makpid to sleep in sukkah on Leil Shmini Atzeres, because that's what his father was Moshe Nefesh. His father died because of that. His father took sitkin and he died. So first his father was paralyzed on the left side for a few weeks, and then ultimately he died from this chumrah of sleeping in the sukkah on Leil Shmini Atzeres. So he says his father was paralyzed, and he continued to put on tefillin on the left arm. So Rav Moshe said that's enough of a proof, like as if the Ribbono Shel Olam said whatever his father did is Rav Moshe. Father was Talmid Chacham. So then Rav Moshe said, but what's the mocker? Where is there a Gemara like this? So he quotes a Gemara in Bechoris. In the middle of Bechoris, the Gemara has a few prokem that talk about mumim. What's considered a balmum by a kohen? Who is a balmum? Is possible to be makar of karbonis? What's a balmum by the carbon? If the carbon is a balmum, you can't be makar. So the discussion's there. So the Gemara says, what if the animal has all the limbs, but one of the limbs doesn't have blood circulating to it? So the Gemara says that's considered dead. That limb is considered dead, and that animal is considered a balmum, even though it's not missing the limb. But that limb is dead. So the animal is missing that limb. It's mamash mechusar eiver, even by bird. By oifus, there's no dead balmum, but there's a psula mechusar eiver, if it's missing a limb. So if the limb is there, but the blood is no longer circulating. So Moshe says, if there would be gangrene in the arm, the blood is not circulating at all, then you can't be yotzei tefillin on the arm. That arm is dead. It's not part of the body, not part of the living body. But he said his father was paralyzed, means the blood is circulating, just that the nervous system isn't functioning over there. But if you cut the arm, it would start to bleed. There was blood circulating. So that's the Gemara, that limb is considered alive. So Rav Moshe quotes a Gemara, this is before anybody knew anything about brain death. Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva in the first volume of Igros Moshe, years before anybody discussed anything about brain death. There Rav Moshe has another tshuva. Used to be a Rebbe in YU, who got involved in brain death. So this Rebbe suggested to Rav Moshe Feinstein, apparently in writing, that if a person has a trach, he's not breathing through the nose, he's breathing through the from over here, that is considered dead. is considered dead, because the pasuk, the Gemara quoted the pasuk, kol shenishmas ruach chayim biyapov. Biyapov has to be breathing through the nose. Rav Moshe said, "Are you crazy?" Rav Moshe writes, "Are you off your mind?" A nose is not from the evarim shanashama t'libahem. The Gemara has sometimes halachas. What's an eva shanashama t'libo? What's a vital organ? What's not a vital organ? People can live without hands, Rahman al Islam, without legs, without eyes, without a nose. They can live missing. Certain organs are vital organs that you can't live without. It. That's called eva shanashama t'libo. The Gemara has dina by Odom and by behemoths, by korbanos, special dina. The Rambam's girsa always is that the Tanoim only talk about three vital organs. That's all. He has the heart, the brain, and the liver. Kovet. The heart, the brain, and the liver. There are more vital organs than that. The lungs. So that's a question. Why did the Rambam holds it, Saloch Azai, only three vital organs, that's all. Or maybe he just, the Rambam, in the Gemara, in many places, talks about vital organs. Every single time the Rambam has the girsa, we don't have the girsa like that. The Rambam, they pointed out that the Rambam always has the girsa, only these three. So they're not sure whether the Rambam meant to say, Pskach nema halacha, the halacha only considers the three vital organs, the other ones don't count as Eivarim, Shanasham, Tlipa. No, these are the three Mishalim. And if the doctors will come to the realization that there are more than three vital organs, Alzang and more, okay. So Moshe wrote that it doesn't make sense to say if he's not breathing through the nose, he's dead. He says, what, the nose is a vital organ? So the Pashta says, Ramosha is assuming, he doesn't spell it out explicitly, he sounds like he's saying, when is the person considered dead? What is it called, Yetzias Neshama? Death is called Yetzias Neshama. If the Eborim, Shanashama Tlebam, if the vital organs are dead, what's the definition of death on organs? So Ramosha quoted in the other Chuvah, he said, when the blood is no longer circulating. So the Pashtus is, when a person starts to die, so first one vital organ shuts down, then another vital organ shuts down, means that the blood is no longer sufficient in circulating to that organ, that it should keep it alive, and that organ starts to decompose already. So the Gemara has a concept, the Halacha has a concept of goses. A goses, the Mishnah says in the beginning of a Halacha, goses means the person holding by gesis, holding by the end, he didn't die yet. So the Mishnah says, "Hagoses kechay lecholdvar." The goses al pidin is not yet metami till he dies. What's the definition of goses? So the Rambam writes there in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Perek Aleph in Aholus. Rambam wrote Pirush HaMishnayos in Arabic, so we use, I don't know Arabic, so we use the Hebrew translation. So in the standard Hebrew translation, in the old Hebrew translation, they write, "There's tahalich hamavus." There's a process of death. Death is not that the guy's alive now and a second later he's dead. There's a process and it takes a while. So the beginning of the process is Alpidin called Goises, and the Gemara, the process, is considered dead. So you have to have, so you have to know what's the process. When is the beginning? When is the end? So the Pashtus is, the beginning of the process is when you have one vital organ is dead already. When there's no longer, when one vital organ closes down. Let's say the kidneys. Sometimes the people, their kidneys are not functioning. Rabbi Tendler makes fun of this presentation that I give. So he said, he says to me, "What do you mean? You can have a person dancing at a wedding, and according to you, he's dead." He can't exactly dance at a wedding. His kidney is dead, and he's walking with intravenous. You have patients walking in the hospitals. Some of them, their kidneys are dead ready. Okay, such a person will be considered at least a goises. If one eva shanashamat liba, at least is considered a goises. If the blood is no longer circulating, the definition of life is ki adam hu anefesh. That's what Tosafot quotes psukim. Ki adam hu anefesh. The blood circulation. I don't know why the world of medicine didn't know this until very recently. In the Chumash it says like that, that there's a circulatory system and it keeps all the animals alive. Ki adam hu anefesh. So if you have one of the vital organs no longer has enough blood circulating to it, providing it with oxygen to keep it alive, so that's a definition of a geisus. When is it considered dead? So that's unclear. Either you need rubikukula, a rive of the vital organs, either you say there are only three vital organs, maybe the Rambam holds only three, kach nemar halacha, or maybe as many as the doctors in your generation say. Maybe in the days of the Tanaim they only knew of three. Maybe a labdafka three. So that's a question. So if you have either rive of the vital organs are dead, or all the vital organs are dead, so then you say the person is dead. But just because the brain is dead, it doesn't mean that the other vital organs are still alive. So the person is not considered dead. And there is no difference. The Gemara does not distinguish between a human being and an animal. There's room to argue the point and say that if the brain is dead by a human being, then he's still alive, but he's not a human being. Maybe he's alive like a behemoth. Maybe he's alive like a behemoth. There's no basir tzachan a behemoth. You can let a behemoth die. There's not mechuyif to extend his life. You're allowed to kill a behemoth. So there's room to argue like that, but it wouldn't appear so from the Mishnayos. Mishnayos say the dinim are the same. The Gemara is going to equate everything over here. The definition of life by the behemoth, the definition of life by the people, and by the Shemayin Shvatzim, it's all the same thing. So the Pashtus has to do with the circulatory system. So now there's a Mishnah and a Holos. The Gemara is going to quote it here. Mishnah and a Holos says, let's say you have an animal or a human being, and someone chopped off the head. So the whole circulatory system just collapsed. You chopped off the head. So we declare the person is already dead. He's going to be walking around a little bit. He's going to be walking around. So the Mishnah said that's not a problem. Sometimes you have zonav haltor. You have a lizard or in the fish store when you go shopping for fish. So they chop off the tail from the fish, and then the tail is going to be jumping around. So the Mishnah has that marshal. You have zonav haltor. Haltor is a lizard. You chop off the tail. So the tail will be jumping around the table. So you're going to say the fact that there's movement is an indication that the tail is alive. Of course it's not alive. It's totally dead. So what's the vort over here of hutaz rosho? If they chopped off the head, the whole circulatory system collapsed. Just a mashal l'maradam. Let's say you have an apartment building with 20 floors and you have a plumbing system and the water goes up and down. And then the whole thing is connected. Then someone takes out one of the pipes in the middle on the 10th floor and everything is connected. So the whole plumbing system collapsed. There's no more plumbing system. The water's still going to go for another couple of minutes till the whole thing. Let's say the person, you chopped off his head, is going to be jumping around a little bit till he collapses, till he stops walking around. But since the whole circulatory system collapsed, so that person is considered dead. So now the Gemara is going to discuss additional cases. When do I say that al pidin, the whole circulatory system has collapsed and the whole person is dead?
I have a question from a few minutes ago. Is the reason why we're not concerned with 1 in 5 million chances because we really don't think it's true that it happened, or because the benefits just don't outweigh the cost?
No, it's a very strong right. It's a very strong
so
right.
Even if it's true that 1 in 5 million,
yeah,
the person lives, scientifically proven everything, we would still not...
Yeah, you have the right to ignore it. You're not allowed to be Mahal Shabbos because of such a far-fetched chance. Let's say a person has an ingrown toenail. So one in 5 million people die from an ingrown toenail because they have blood poisoning or whatever. But if you have an ingrown toenail on a weekday, the guy's not going to take off from work. He's going to go to work. He's going to go see the doctor at night. So if it would have been the weekday, he wouldn't be worried to run to the hospital right away. Then if it's Shabbos also, he's not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. The only time you're Mechal Shabbos, if there's some suffix sakana, is a suffix sakana that the patient is nervous about. But if it's such a far-fetched suffix sakana, the patient himself is not nervous about it, then the Gemara will evoke the Pasuk in Tehillim, Shem Epsoim Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect the fools. Why are they foolish? Because there's a suffix sakana and they're not nervous about it. The Gemara says, that was Rav Moshe's original tshuva about smoking. How do you let people smoke? It's so dangerous to your health. So he said, look, all the people smoke and they're not worried about it. So you don't have to be concerned. So the classical poskim said, you only apply Shem Epsayim Hashem if it's very far-fetched. But if it's a real high percentage, they say people who smoke a lot, there's a high likelihood that they will die younger. So that's called suicide, if you're going to smoke. Suicide is not only I slit my throat and I die on the spot within 10 minutes. If I do something that causes me to die an hour earlier than otherwise, so then that's also an act of suicide. Let's say pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos. So if a person has a situation, if he doesn't take care of it now on Shabbos, it'll cause him to die earlier. That's called also pikuach nefesh doicha Shabbos. It doesn't have to be pikuach nefesh from today. If he doesn't take care, he's going to die today. He's going to die within a week. Even he's going to die one day earlier. Fasting on Yom Kippur. If there's a person who's not healthy, And the doctors say if this person will fast the whole day on Yom Kippur, he would definitely die one day earlier than otherwise. That's called pikuach nefesh. So he should eat on Yom Kippur. He shouldn't fast on Yom Kippur.
So what do we say about smoking nowadays?
Rav Moshe doesn't accept that. Rav Chaim Isaac quotes many Achronim say like this, that you only apply Shema Psaim Hashem to a situation where it's far-fetched, it's such one chance out of a thousand, and then you say it depends whether the patient is nervous or not. But if it's a real suffix sakana, anything anywhere near 50-50, then you don't apply Shema Psaim Hashem. So Rav Moshe doesn't agree with that. But all the classical poskim said like that before Rav Moshe. Chaim Moshe gives you a list of all the poskim that said like that. Yeah. I don't think it's relevant for the definition of death. There the Gemara wants to know when you have the Gemara is talking about Egla Rufa. Ki matzi chal ba'adam, if you find a person in Eretz Yisrael murdered, lo noda mihiko, you don't know who the murderer was. You have to measure to the cities that are closest. Murder the Hamas Shasviva Sakhal, you have to measure to the cities near the cholo, near the dead, the murdered body, and the city that's closest, we assume the murderer must have come from that city, and the people in the city need a kapar. So the Gemara said, what if you found the dead body, the head is over there, and the belly is over here. And if you'll measure from the head, then it'll be that city will be close. Measure from the belly, that city will be closest. When you measure, you have to put the whole body together. That's a mitzvah's medida. So do you take the legs, you put the belly next to the head, you take the head and you put it next to the belly. So the Gemara has a machlokes ha-tarot. So it's a philosophical machlokes, but that's not relevant as far as the definition of life and death is concerned. Definition of life and death, that's what Tosfos said. Ki adam hu ha-nefesh. There are many Gemaras like that, that the blood circulation is what keeps the animal alive. And Rav Moshe said it depends on Evarim Shana Shamat Lo'ibarim, the vital organs. So when one vital organ is already shut down, there's no longer any blood circulation, that's a definition of a geisis. That's the beginning of the death process. And then the gemar of the death process, the tahalich, the process of death, is either when ruba kakula roiv of the vital organs, or all the vital organs are dead. Or if the whole circulatory system collapsed. So Agamar is going to talk about cases, something happened to the person, or to the animal, or to the sheretz, the rodent, and we declare the whole circulatory system has collapsed. So that's what we're up to over here. The second wide line on Daf Chof Amid Beis. Oma Ze'iri, Nishbara Mifrekes, let's say the spine is cracked. The right Basar Imo, and not only the Mifrekes cracked, but from the right to the left of the neck, the flesh is also cracked. So he says Nevela. He's talking about an animal. If it would be an Adam, you would call him a mace, but a dead animal is called a Nevela. So that animal is already in the veil. Even though it's still walking around, that animal is called in the veil. Rav Chisda says, I can prove in the Mishnah that it's correct. The Mishnah says in Zvachim, yeah, we're learning Chulin. So the Mishnah, we had the Mishnah in Chulin, on Daf Yutes on the base, that when you bring a Chatas Oif or an Oilas Oif, you have to do Malika. And Malika has to be done the Etzba, with the fingernail of the coin, with the right hand, okay? And shchita by chulin has to be done with a sakin. If you do shchita b'mechuber, that's called mechuber. Even though it's not mechuber lekarka, mechuber to the guf adam, that's mechuber. So if you do shchita with a fingernail, it's nevela. It's not a kosher shchita. If you do malika with a sakin, it's also metame begodem abes avliya. Malika is on an oaf. So nivla soif tohar is metame abes avliya. That's the quirk. The four different tumas you have. Neisa de matame bemaga bebasa beohel and nivlas behem matame bebaga bemasa and the shemana shorts and one matame bemaga that bemasa and the nivlas seif tahar is matame abes abliya the matame begodim he becomes tame when he swallows and the clothing that he's wearing also become tame when he swallows it abes abliya. So the Gemara is bothered with a kasha. Let's say you have an oif shal kochim. Oil soif or a chata soif. Instead of doing maliki, you do shchita. You take a knife and you cut it over here. So it won't be kosher to be makar on the mizbeach because you didn't do the malika. But it won't be a nevela. It's not a nivla soif tahar. You did a proper shchita. So just because instead of shechting over here, he took the knife and shechted from the back, malak means from the back to the front. Malak b'sakin. So if he would have shochat b'sakin, it's not kosher la'akrova. You won't be out to the mitzvah. You have to bring in a different chatas, sorry, for a different other side. But why is it mitame b'godim ha'beis ha'bliyah? Mitame b'godim means that it's a nevela. So he says the answer is because if you're cutting from the back, you're going to crack the spine first. Not even going to crack the spine. So you're going to cut the whole roi basarima. You're going to cut the flesh to the right and to the left. So that's considered as if the whole circulatory system collapsed and the whole organism is dead. Like that Mishnah about Hutaz Rosha. The next Dab is going to quote Hutaz Rosha. If you took a human being or Shmoneh Shvatzim, you chopped off the whole head, you detached the head from the organism, so that's considered the whole circulatory system collapse. So Rav Chisda says, I see from the Mishnah that Ze'iri is right. Rav Chisda, Afana, Namitini, we have the Beferish in Mishnah. Molak, Bisakim, and Tamib Godam, Abbeis Havliya. He does the malika from the back to the front with a knife. Is a Mishnah later in the third parak in Chulin as Eilu Treifa. So it's, if the spine is cracked, so you're not allowed to eat the animal. Let's say the spine is cracked, then you shecht it properly. So you're not. It's also bachil. Question is why? Is it a nevela or is it a treifa? Nishbar hamifrekes. Is it a nevela? Then it's metame. The masa, if it's only a treifa, so if you shecht it, the shechita will be mitame de nevela. So that's where Rav Chisda is arguing. The iamrit treifa havin. If you're going to tell me, then nishbar hamifrekes, if the spine is cracked, then the right basarima is only a treifa. So over here, he's shechting with a knife. So the animal became a treifa when he cracked the spine. Then he continues to cut through the kana and the vesha. You only have to cut one of them. By a bird, you only have to cut either the kana or the vesha. Simen echot. So why should you say it's matame abes habliya? Why is it nivela saftar? Malikosa zui shchitosa. The way he did the malika, this is a shchita. That expression, malikosa zui shchitosa, normally is used in a different context. You have two karbonas by off. You have oilosoif and chatosoif. Oilosoif, you burn the whole thing. Like all this behemoth, kula kola, you burn the whole thing. Chatas behemoth, the kohanim eat it. Chatas and oshim, kohanim have to eat it. The Gemara has an expression, kohanim oichlim, ubailim is kapim. The kohanim, the achilas hakohanim is like haktora agabi hamizbech. Just like when you do haktora, that's part of the kapara. Strictly speaking, when the banyai murim, it's not really needed for the kapara. They're only dalet avodas adam ali ikuvah. The shchita kabola halacha zrika. Those four avodas ali kubasi. If all nitmu haimurim, if all of the chelap became nitmu or nevdu haimurim got lost, and you weren't makrivit, so did he ever the kolman bekasha without that? Well, hatchil if you have the haimurim and it's tar, you're supposed to be makrivit, it's supposed to burn it on the mizbech. So by oilus oifas also, you burn the whole thing on the mizbech. The kohanim don't eat anything, but by a chatas behema in a osham, the kohanim eat it. Kohanim mechelam abalam miskapim. So by chatas soif, also the kohanim eat it. So how can the kohanim eat it? But it's a pasul l'shchita. The kohen shechts it with a malika with his fingernail. So it should be a nevela. So the Gemara says the answer is no malikasa zoi shchitasa. Since the Torah prescribes this is the proper form of killing the animal for the purpose of chatas soif, malikasa zoi shchitasa. Our Gemara doesn't mean malikasa zoi shchitasa in that sense that it's a kosher shchita. Gemara is saying over here when he does malika with a knife. So the way he did the malika is more like b'sakin. The way he did the malika is it? He did a shechita. So he did a shechita. So if you're going to say that cracking the spine only makes it a treifa, but the organism is still alive, it's not a nevela. So if you do a shechita on an animal that's a treifa, it's metame de nevela. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Why does the Mishnah say molak b'sakin is metame b'garma beis habliya, the chatasoif and the oilosoif is a nevela? Why? The amrit, it's only a treifa. If you say nishbara hamifrekes, it's only a treifa. But because it's a shchitas, tani lo sakana tami de nevela. He shechts the kohen and the vesha. Let it be a good shchita. So it should be removed the tumas the vela. So it's a raya that if you crack the spine first with the roi basarima on the right, not just crack the spine. If you break a spine, but there's flesh all over. So it'll hold the body together still. But if you crack the spine and there's nothing supporting it to the right and to the left, so then the whole animal is considered dead. Then it's considered as if the whole circulatory system collapsed and the whole animal is dead. So that's his proof in the Mishnah, because of Shchitasam Zamdan Avelim. And for the Gemara, that's not necessarily a good proof. It could be that the reason why it's an Avela has nothing to do with the fact that they cracked the spine first. Amri, Zokti Gemara, Rav Chizda's proof of Chizda says that what Ziri said, Ziri was one of the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael. Chizda lived in the bubble. So Rav Chizda says what Ziri said is correct. Afanana mitinina. There's a Mishnah in Zvachim that supports it. Then the Gemara says, Amri, the Amoraim said, not necessarily correct. Hasam, the reason why it's not a good Shechita there, Mishum Dalab Shechita Hiklal, has one of the other Psulim in Shechita, not necessarily because he cracked the spine and the animal, the circulatory system collapsed. A totally different reason why. We said the Rachamishil Cheshchita, Shiad Rasach Allah Dagram of Yikur. So the Gemara says, one of the Psulim Shechita is Drasa. Drasa means you have to shecht Melechem Evi back and forth. Not necessarily back and forth. You have a very long knife, so you can shecht with one swoop. It's long, you don't need back and forth. Okay. But you have to place pressure. If you're not going to place pressure down, just going to fiddle back and forth, the animal's not going to get geshocht. You have to place pressure down. You have to push sideways at the same time that you're pushing down. If you just push down, that's called drasa, that's an avela. So the Gemara, we had the Gemara on the previous daf, we learned it 2 weeks ago. There was a machlokes amaroim when you do malika on the chatasoif and an oilosoif. Is it acceptable either way? If you fiddle back and forth, malacha maybe is good, or dores, or if you push down is good, or one amara held, not only dores. It's by definition, malika means you have to use the fingernail, you have to push it in like this, you're not supposed to fiddle back and forth. So one opinion is that you need dafke dores, and if the Mishnah says there in Zvachim, molak besakin, means it took a knife, and it just pushed it with pressure down. He didn't fiddle back and forth. So it's an avela because of drasa, not because he cracked the spine before, not because nishbar hamefrekes rav basarima is an avela, not because he did drasa. That's one opinion. The other opinion holds, how can that be? The other opinion in Gemara holds like the other view on Ahmed Aleph, that when you do malika, it's optional. You can either do drasa, either push down, or fiddle back and forth with your fingernail. It's harder to fiddle back and forth. But if you fiddle back and forth, it's also good. How can the Mishnah say that every single time you're going to be Moloch B'sakan, it's going to be an avela? Because by definition, every Malika is going to be B'drus. It's not true. Maybe did the Malika the Melech HaMevi. The Gemara says, the other Amara holds, no, it's not good because of Chalodah. What does Chalodah mean? So Chalodah, the Gemara explains, Chalodah means like a chulda, like a weasel that goes in and out. The cracks in the house or the furniture goes in and out. So if you take a knife and you stick it in between the Kon and the Veshet, so the knife is stuck in the middle of the neck. You're supposed to cut from the outside, you're supposed to cut like this, or from the side like this. If you stick the knife in between the cut and the vesha, then you start cutting out, that's called drosa. That's called chalodah. That's called chalodah like a chulda. Gemara has a suffix. What if he sticks the knife under the hide? The hide doesn't need shchit al pidin. So is that also called drosa? Is that also called chalodah? What do you say? No, since Alpidin, the high doesn't require shechita, so maybe that's not called chalod. The Gemara has a suffix. What if he takes a towel and he ties the towel around the neck and then he sticks the knife in between the towel and the neck, so the knife is hidden, but it's not hidden in the middle of the neck of the animal. It's hidden in between the towel. Or let's say the animal has a lot of wool on the outside. And you stick the knife in the middle of the wool. Instead of cutting from outside, you stick the knife in the middle of the wool, it's hidden. So that's fakus in the Gemara, whether that's also called chalod.
See? The Gemara assumes that all the five psulim apply to the back as well as the front?
All the five
back of the neck.
Yeah.
So I would think this only applies to the front of the neck. Maybe that's a different halakha back of the neck.
When you do shechita on a bird, it doesn't matter what you do in the front and the back. When you do a proper shechita, you can shech from the front, from the side, this side, you can shech from the back also. The only problem is that you're going to use a knife in the back, you're going to crack the spine. So that was the machlok, that was the shayla, whether cracking the spine makes it an avela, makes it just a trefa. If it just makes it a trefa, but al pidin, it's a good shechita, then it should be metame de nevela. So how come it says in the Mishnah that it's metame b'gadim abeis avliya, that it's a nivla seif tohar? But all the chomish al chashchita apply whether he's starting from the front, from the back, from the sides. Everything is the same.
I mean, it's a different thing, but I mean, just
yeah. If you you can shechna back as long as you didn't crack the spine in advance, and then all the chamish al chashchita will apply. So Rav Chisda thought that you have a right from the Mishnah Afanan Nami Tanino. What Ziri said in Eretz Aziru is one of the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. What Ziri said is correct, that you see that Mishbar HaMefrekes makes the animal an avela. Otherwise you don't understand the Mishnah. Why is it Metamev Godim? So Amri the Amoraim said it doesn't prove anything. Hasam, the reason for the Mishnah Mishum, the Lav Shchita Hiklal. My time, what's wrong? A different psul and Shchita, what's wrong? Ravuna Mneshu Machli, Ravuna says, because it's going to be Chalota. Why was it Chalota? So Rashi explains, when you take a knife and you cut in the front, so the neck is straight. When you start cutting, so it's going to be open a little bit. It's going to be ripped apart. Then we're going to start cutting the corner. So the corner is going to open up a little bit. It's going to be like an opening, like a V shape. So the knife is going to be exposed all the time. When you cut the spine in the back, it's not going to be cracked open. It's not going to be like a V opening. It's going to have a crack in the spine. Then you're going to continue cutting the corner or the vesha. The knife is going to be covered over by the spine that you cracked. So that's going to be a machlekes in the Gemara. Is that called chalode? You're cutting this. The knife is blocked with the cracked spine, but you don't have a solid spine over there. There's a crack where you start cutting with the knife. So one opinion is that's also called chalode because it doesn't have a crack that's open, so the knife is hidden there. The other one says, what kind of chalode? But it cut from the outside in. So there's no chalode. How can you call it chalode? And the other one says it's not chalode, but it's rather drasa. Why is it drasa? Because when you do malika, by definition, you don't do malika mevi. You only push down. So by definition, if it says, what was the Mishnah? Malak b'sakin. Malika b'sakin means only pushing down with pressure. He's not fiddling back and forth. So that's no good because it's because drasa makes it an avela. It's an avela, not because the spine was cracked before he cut the con innovation. It's an avela because of the drasa.
Did we learn that there's something that sakin gets damaged or something when you go from the back, when you go from the spine? So
very often the sakin will get a pegima. Yes, the sakin will get a pegima. Marvin talks about shechting from the front, and then you may have bumped into the spine. If you keep on cutting too far, you're going to bump into the spine. So the spine may cause a pegima in the knife. So certainly, if you're cutting from the back to the front, may have a pegima in the knife. But may or may not. May or may not. Not always a vadois. Here the Mishnah says, the vadois is going to be a nevela. So Rav Chisda thought the reason why it's vadai nevela, if malak besaken, is because he cracked the spine. So that's by definition, the whole circulatory system has collapsed. And Amri and Amoraim said, not necessarily so. Maybe the reason why it's a nevela is because you violated Hilchos Shechita. My time, which of the Hilchos Shechita did you violate? So it's a machlekes amar arfun amim neshu machlit, because the knife will be covered up a little bit, because the spine is not going to crack open, not going to be like a V opening there. And rav amim neshu hu doris, manda amim neshu machlit, my time amim neshu hu doris. Why doesn't he say because of drasa? Because when you do chalod, he pushed down. So he says, no. Because some he's of the opinion, Malach Hamevi Mablika is kosher. That was Machloika Sanam and Aleph. When you do Malika, does it have to, Dafka be Doiris, Dafka pushing down? Or is it even acceptable back and forth? Moving back. Manam Neshu Doiris, my time Lam Neshu Machlid. Why doesn't he agree it's Chalod? Amalach, what kind of Chalod? That's not Chalod. Chalod is when it's not cut. But over here, he cut from the beginning, he cut from the back. The knife will be covered over a little bit because you're not going to have an opening there in the back. The spine is going to be covering over the knife a little bit, but still, that's by definition, that's not called chalod. Amalach, he disagrees. Chalod, the hechi dami, the chulda hadora bikori habatim, the mechasya, the chulda, the weasel, runs around in the cracks of the house and it's covered over. Abahocha, homigalia over here, the knife is exposed. It's taket. There is no big opening there, but that's the machlekes. Is that called chalod or not? So we don't have a proof. Rav Chisda thought you have a proof in the Mishnah, so the Gemara says you don't necessarily have a proof. Omar Rav says I'm going to prove what the din is. I kashali, ho kashali. I have a kash. If you're going to tell me that cracking the spine makes the animal into an avela, like Ziri says, nishbar hamefrekes, you're not allowed to eat the flesh. Why not? Is it an avela or is it a trefa? So he says if it's an avela. So I don't understand. I have the following taina. If you're gonna, when you do a normal malika, how do you do a normal malika on a chatan side, an oiler side? So first you take the fingernail of the coin, he cuts, first he cuts through the spine, and then he cuts either the coin and the veshes. If you're gonna tell me that cracking the spine, the animal is dead already, the circulatory system is declared as having collapsed already, so what? How can you continue vita to shech the coin and the veshes? It's dead. You fiddle a dead animal. That's not called malika. It means malika is the way to kill the animal. But if you say once you cut the spine, the animal is dead already, so you're doing malika on a dead animal. That's his argument. So it's a proof that cracking the proof that Ziri is wrong. That when you crack the spine, the animal is only a trefa. So how can you? But
for gubowa, not for adam. You say for gubowa, we have a different
halacha. Oh, so that's where Rashi explains. If you would say that cracking the spine makes it a trefa, so then there wouldn't be a problem. If it's already a trefa, what does it help to cut the kon and the veshed? It's already a trefa. The answer is no. Kachomer Torah, that doesn't. Let's say you shech the behema with a knife from the front. So first you cut, let's say, the kon. So you should say the kon is cracked, it's already a trefa. So what does it help you cut the veshed later? That you're going to say that it's a shechitik sheh, but it already was a trefa. So Rashi said, no, kach nemar halacha. That's the whole process. It became a trefa in the middle of the process. That's not called a trefa. If it would have been a trefa before you start doing the shechita. So over here also, if all you say is that you cracked the spine, the animal is a trefa, but that's why you have to do malika, use your fingernail, cut the spine first, then cut the corner of the veshet. So it wouldn't bother me. It's already a trefa. No, it does become a trefa. That's the beginning of the malika process. But if you say by cracking the spine, it becomes an avela, so the animal is dead. So how can you do malika on a dead animal? That's Rava's argument. So Rava wants to prove against Ziri that cracking the spine does not make it into a nevela. Gemara is going to answer, no, Ziri never said cracking the spine. Ziri said, Nishba Hamefrekas V'roi Basarimo. If you crack the spine and the neck is all intact around and around, then it's going to support. The circulatory system has not yet collapsed. If you cut the spine V'roi Basarimo on both sides, So then has no flesh around it to support the spine, so then it's considered like it's dead. So that's what they answer. Ziri never said Nishba Hamefrekas alone. When you do Malika, just cut the Mefrekas, and then you cut the Karnavesha, and then you cut the right Basar. Because you want to have, we said last week, we learned, the Gemara is going to continue, there's a difference between Chata Soif and Oila Soif. By Chata Soif is a Din Veloy Abdel. You're not supposed to be Mavdel. Not supposed to cut both the kona and the veshet by chata soif. By ola soif, it's a different form. You have to do ken yavdil. You have to do havdol. You have to cut with the malika both the kona and the veshet. So part of the din of havdolah by ola soif is you have to cut the right basar on both sides. But the Gemara said you don't necessarily have to cut the right basar before you cut the kona and the veshet. First, use your fingernail, crack the spine. You go in order. You crack the spine. Then you cut the kona and the veshet, and then you cut the right basarima. So it doesn't become an avela till after you've already finished the malika. The malika is done when you just cracked the spine. You didn't cut the right basarima. That's how the Gemara is going to answer the taina. But this is where Rava taina is against Ziri. I have the following kasha. How can he say that nishba hamefrekas is an avela? So how do you ever do malika? You always start with the nishba hamefrekas. The animal, the bird, is dead already. So what are you doing, Malika and Dal? Chimesa, Oymen, Amorlik, it does make sense. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says, V'tik shelach, Oylos Oif, I'll ask you another kasha. Leave out the Mefreka story. I'll ask you another kasha. By Oif, if it's Chulin, so the din is by the Gemara says at the beginning of the second parak, that the animals were created, Minhu Adoma, in Parshas Bereshis. The behemoths and the chayes were created min adamah, so they have more chiyus. And the birds were created min arekek, from muddy. The banishan created a swampy area, so it has less chiyus than the behemoths. And the fish were created min amayim, so they have less chiyus than the birds. So that's why behemoth, you have to shech two simonim, kod and the beishim, alishtek nigmar. And the bird is enough to shech one simon, because it doesn't have as much chiyus as a behemoth. And the fish, you don't even have to shech any simon. You take the fish out of the river and it's already considered dead. You don't have to do any shechita at all. So the Gemara asks, as Abaye asks the kasha, leave out the story with the Mefrekas. Forget about what Ziri said. How do you understand the pasuk in Chumash that by chatos, if you only do one simen, or else if you do both kanonivation, the minute you cut either, whichever one, you have an option, either to cut by chatos, either to cut chatos, you can either shecht the kanon or the vation. And oil so if you have to shecht both, you have to do malika on both, the kanon and the vation. So he says, but by chulin, if you shecht the bird, you shecht either the kanon or the vation, the bird is considered dead. So what do you mean by oil so if you have to shecht the kanon, you have to do malika on the kanon and the vation? Once you did the first one, the animal is dead already. If it would have been a chulin, I would declare the animal is dead. So what are you doing a malika on the second simon? You're doing malika on the dead animal. So he says, forget about the mefrekas. Amalei Abai, Abai asks Rava. Where is it? Amalei Abai, the line begins with the word Abai. V'tikshelach oilus oif, the bai shnei simanim. That's a difference between chatos oif and oilus oif. Chatos oif says, v'lo yavdil, you don't shech, you don't do malik on both. Kon and nevashit. Oilus oif, you have to do malik on both. It doesn't make sense. V'chimesa oim and a moilek. Once he does malika on either, whichever one he does first, the bird is dead. So what is he doing? What is he fiddling around? He's playing with a dead bird. How can he do malika on a dead bird? Omaleisa, Rava says, dosen ishken kasha. Rava said, ikasha liho kasha. I have one kasha. Rava only had a kasha against Ziri if you cut the mefrekas bird. He said, that's not a kasha what Abai said. Who says that shechting the second simon by oilas ha'oif is part of the shechita? When you shecht the first one, the bird is dead. And then you have to do other things. You do zrikas hadam, you do haktorah on the mizbeach. So cutting the second simon is a separate din. Yavdil, you have to, a mitzvah is havdala bi'alma. It's not that by oilas ha'oif, the malika consists, malikos ha'zui shechitos, it consists of cutting both the kon and the resh. No, whichever one you cut first, the bird is dead already. Just like by chatos ha'oif, you only do one. So by oilas ha'oif, the first one you'll do, whichever one you do first, doesn't matter. The shechita of the bird is finished. And cutting the second one is like doing haktorah. That's a different mitzvah. A mitzvah of havdala. Amalei, so Rabbi answers, hasam. Why do you have to cut the second simon? The animal is dead already. No, because they're the kind of mitzvahs havdala. It's not necessarily a din. It's not necessarily a din of that the malika consists of cutting the both simon. No, malika is the first simon. The malika and the second simon is just for the mitzvah of havdala. Fegmar kasha anayimais ihochi. There's such a rubber. You, that's what you think, rubber. That it's a mitzvah of havdala, even though the animal is dead already. Has nothing to do with the shechita. The shechita is finished when you do the first one because it's dead already. In fact, so Abai asked back, Ihochi or Nami. It's a mitzvah of havdala. So nobody says you have to cut the kana and the vesha and the skin all around. Why not? So we always thought because it's a form of shechita, like by behema you have to shecht the kana and the vesha, and by yoifus chulin you only have to shecht one. And by Chatasov, you only have to do Malika on one. So by Yolasov, you have to do Malika on two. So that's what Abai asked the Kasha. How can you do Malika on two? When you're doing the Malika on one, it's dead already. So Rava said, no, that's a mitzvah of Abdullah. Cutting the second one is not part of Malika. So he says, if cutting the second simon is not at all part of the Malika, it's a mitzvah of Abdullah. So Abdullah is required, even though it's not part of Hilchot Shechita. So why aren't you required to cut the skin also, the Torah Savdala? So the normal answer would be, skin? Skin is never a chelik of shechita. But you just told me cutting the second simon is not part of the shechita. It's a din of Havdala. You have to separate, you have to detach the head from the body by the oil itself. So why don't you require by or hiochi or nami? So he answers no. So Rava answers back, doesn't ishkin kasha. Kala maka b'shechita, maka b'havdala. Kol sheina maka b'shechita, ina maka b'havdala. Since when you shecht an animal, So the cutting of the skin around the neck is not makiv in the shechita, so therefore it's not makiv in the havdala. In fact, the Gemara for hamiyot simanim, if you shecht roiv of the kana, roiv of the veshit, so there's no need to shecht the miyot basra, and nonetheless there's a machlekes hatanaim on the next daf when there's a mitzvah of havdala by the oil of soy, if you have to shecht both simanim, means entirely, kol hakana v'kana veshet, or do you say roiv of the kana, roiv of the veshet? So that's a machlokes hatanoim, bedafke. So the chachamim hold dafke kol hakana v'kana veshet, because that's a din of havdala. It's By Chatasa, if it says Velo Yavda, by other side, you do need Havdola. So you need Davke Kola Kanev Kola Veshit. And the Tanah Rab Lazabad Rab Shimon, who is it? Rab Lazabad Shimon insists no. It's the Davke Roif Akanev Rab Veshit. You should not Shecht Kola Kanev. So the Gemara says, the Miyud Basra is never Makiv in the Shechita. The Rabbanon, insist that by Havdola, by Oilosov, you have to Shecht Kola Kanev, the Kola Veshit, otherwise you're not Mekayim the Mitzvah of Havdola. Aye, but the Miyut Simonim is never ma'akev in the Shechita, and still is ma'akev in the Havdalah. So Rabbi answers, no, I said it over wrong. Not that or doesn't require cutting because it's not ma'akev in the Shechita. The Miyut Simonim is not ma'akev in the Shechita either of the bird. What I meant to say was, whatever is not nitfas in Shechita, or is never nitfas in Shechita. But the Kohen Neveshit is nitfas. If you cut it in the other direction, this will be the Raiv. Once you cut Raiv, so you don't have to cut the miyud basra, but if you would have cut in the other direction, you would have begun by cutting that part. So the whole kohen, the whole veshit is nitvas b'shchita la'ema. What you should say, the answer to the kasha bayor is the following: koshi yeshnem b'shchita. If it's nitvas and shchita, yeshnem havdol is required to cut it for the havdolah by the elders of kosheinu b'shchita. The or is never nitvas and shchita, so that there's no din of havdolah on that. So Gemara says, okay, so the other kashas we far emphasize. There's no kasha. Aber mikoma kam kasha, what we said before, Rava said that Ziri is dead wrong. How can Ziri say that Nishbar HaMefrekes, the animal is already in a vela? So how do you ever do Malika? You've already made the animal into a vela, and then you're going to go shechting. So you're doing Malika on a dead animal. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara is going to answer, does an Ishken Kasha. The only time Ziri said, Nishba HaMefrekes is an Avela, if it's Red Basarima, yeah. If you cut to the right and to the left, and there's no flesh on the neck that's supporting the body, the whole head, the cut over here. So the Gemara says, oh my Rabbi, the answer is, Ema Zogazai, V'cheno, I say, he's supposed to do like this, Chaytech Shedra, U'Mefrekes B'loi Red Basar. So it's not yet an Avela. It's a trefa. If you crack the mefrekes, you crack the spine, it'll be a trefa, it won't be an avela. Ziri only said it's an avela mechayim, even though it's walking around, if you have the right basarima. And then after you cut the mefrekes without the right basar, then you, if it's oilosoif, then you shech the kona and the veshet of the oif, havdala, and then you cut the right basarima. Because that's part of the din of yavdil. So the Gemara tells a story. Rab Zera used to learn in Bavel, then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, and he fasted 40 Taneisim. He should forget all of the learning that he did in Bavel. It's a strange Gemara. Rav Zeir was a character. each human being is a colorful. So Rav Zeir went to Eretz Yisrael. Kisalik Rav Zeir to Eretz Yisrael. He says, Ashkeche l'Rabbi Ami. Taisis points out there were four Rabbonim. There was Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi. They had smicha, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi. They could only have smicha in Eretz Yisrael. So they were students of Rabbi Yechanan. They usually quote the name Rabbi Yechanan. Then there was Rav Ami and Rav Asi, reverends. They weren't rabbis because they lived in Bava. They couldn't get any smicha. You can only get smicha if you're in Eretz Yisrael. If they would have visited Eretz Yisrael and gotten smicha, they would come back to Bava. Couldn't afford to visit Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Zera moved to Eretz Yisrael. And he meets Rav Ami, the Yosef Ikomar, Lahoshmaita. He says over the word from Ziri, because Ziri was from the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. If Nishbar HaMefrekes, V'roi Basarima, it's an Avela. So he asked him the Kasha, Amalei. So Rav Zera tells him over the Kasha that Rav asked, how can you ever do Malika if you first crack the spine? So the bird is already in Avela. How do you ever do Malika? The animal is already in Avela before you begin. So Rabbi Ami was stunned and he didn't know what to answer. Ishtaimim kishoa chado. He was stunned, he didn't know what to answer. Amalei. Then he finally answers, Ema, you have to say, Kachu I said. The answer has to be like Rabbi said on the top line over here. Chaytech shedra umifrekes beloy rav basar. You just crack the spine, you make it into a treif and not into an avela. And then afterwards you cut the kana and the veshit if it's an oilosoif, and then you cut the right basa because of the mitzvah of havdola. Tanya Amelcha, this Taka Brisa that says exactly like that. Ketzad molkim chata sa'if. How do you do it? First, chaytach shed mefrekes v'loy rav basar. Achamagil Levesha to the Kana by Chatasaif, you only do one. By the other side, you do cut both. Chatzaif says below Yavdal Sika, you have the Brary that to cut the Kana or the Veshit. Igil Levesha to the Kana, Chaitach Simin Echot, O Rubai. And then afterwards, you cut the right Basarima afterwards. And in another Saif, there is a Mitzvah Havdol, they say cut both. And in Chata Saif, it says, Yechaitach Simin Echot, O Rubai, you only have to cut one. In another life, it says, you cut Shnaim or Rav Shnaim. You cut either the full Kana and the full Veshit, or you cut the Rav of the Kana and the Rav of the Veshit. Period. So that's the end. There should be a period. That's the end of the Braisa. The Braisa gives the answer that Rav has suggested on the top line. That is the correct answer. Now the Gemara is bothered with a question. We mentioned earlier, the Gemara was alluding to it over here, the Rabbanon. And the second line from the bottom, the Rabbanon, the bottom of Daf Chof from the base, there was a Machlokes Rabbanon, Rab Lazar, Rab Shimon. How much do you cut by the mitzvahs Havdalah by Oyla Sa'if? Do you cut the full Kan and the full Veshet? Havdalah means fully, or no? Dafke, you cut Rav Kan and Rav Veshet. You should not cut full Kan and full Veshet. Can't be a Machlokes. How do you read the Psukim in the Chumash? How do you darshan the Psukim? So nobody says you have an option of either Rav Shnayim or Shnayim. The Rabbanon say Dafke Kan, the whole Kan of the whole Veshit by an oil soif, and Rab Lazar Rab Shimon says Dafke Rav HaKan and Rav HaVesh. So the Gemara asks, Mani, he just quoted a Braisa, one part of the Braisa saved us. He just saved the institution of Malika. That when you do the Malika, you just cut the Mefrakis, you don't cut Rav Basar. Then you cut the Kan of the Veshit. But the other line of the Braisa doesn't read straight. It says, by an oil soif, Yishech Shnayim or Rav Shnayim. So the Gemara says, Mani, whose opinion is the Braisa following? E Rabbanon, Ami Shnayim Davke. They say Rav Shnayim is not good enough. By Behema, when you're shechting Behema, Rav Shnayim is good enough. But here, by Yilasov, there's a mitzvah of Havdalah. So Havdalah, by Chata says, Velo Yavdil, by Yilasov, it is Yavdil. Yavdil requires Kol HaShnayim. You don't say Ruba Kukula. Inik Rav Lazar Rav Shimon, Hama Rav Shnayim Davke. He holds that you're not allowed to cut Shnayim. He's going to darshan the Pasuk, Davke Rav Shnayim, not the Kashnayim. So whose opinion is it? So the Gemara says, Zog Azoy, Ema, maybe this is the way the Braisa should be read. Shnaim the Rabbanon, Rav Shnaim the Rablaz Rav Shimon. The Braisa means to allude to the fact that there is a Machlokes HaTanoim. It means either Shnaim or Rav Shnaim, depending which Tana you accept. The boy is saying, and if you want, you can say perhaps differently, Avaha Rablaz Rav Shimon. Maybe the Braisa is not, it's a funny pshat. The Braisa says, Yishecht, either Shnaim or Rav Shnaim means depending on which Tana you hold like. So you should have said so. So now the Gemara suggests, no, maybe what it means, it goes like Rav Lozab Rav Shimon, that you cannot Shecht Kol HaShnaim, only Rav Shnaim. So why does it say Shnaim or Rav Shnaim? It means like this. Shnaim means you should cut Rav Shnaim, that it should be Nikah, that it's Rav. You should cut 80%. Or Rav Shnaim, you can cut 55%. That you just made it betzimtzum. The koshi had made it right. There's a rav hanir eloi naim, and there's a rav betzimtzum. You just made it. So that's the Gemara's second suggestion. The boy seima, and if you want, you can say it's not that the tan and the brisa means either shnaim the rabbanon or rav shnaim the rabbanon zopshim. Hava harab lazab rabshim. The brisa only goes like him. Umay shnaim shedomim l'shnaim. Shnaim means yishech the rav hanir eloi naim. A rav shnaim means rav betzimtzum. That's how Rashi reads the Gemara.
Nobody holds that.
This Braisa is only Rav Lozer, Rav Shimon. The Rabbanon would disagree. We would paskan dafke shnayim. You cut completely. That's machlekes. How do you read the pasuk? It says by chata soif lo yavdil. By the soif it is yavdil. So yavdil means dafke shnayim. It doesn't mean or. It does mean the or, but maybe it means shnayim. The whole thing that's nitfas and shchita, whatever's nitfas and shchita. So that's a machlekes satanon. So the Gemara before was talking about the second line, the second wide line, Omaziri, Achofim Beis. Nishbara Mifrex Vera Basarima Nevela. He's talking about an animal. Talking about a bird, talking about an animal when the spine is cracked. Now he's talking about a human being. It's all the same. What's the definition of life and death is the same by animals, by human beings, all the same thing. If it's a human being, it's metami ba'oil. Vimtaimar, and if you'll ask Akasha, we usually think Vimtaimar is in Taisus. So here the Gemara has Vimtaimar. And if you'll ask Akasha, Osa Maisa, the Eli, was Mefrekes, Paloi, right? Basar, Havoi. The Pasuk says, Eli, I think, died at the age of 98. He was an old man. And had a lot of aggravation in his life, had trouble for aggravation from his children. And then, but what caused him to die was when he heard that the Jews went to war and Aron Hashem, the Aron Kodesh, was taken into captivity by the Plishtim. So he fell off of the chair, he cracked his spine, and he died. So it says he died because the spine cracked. So he just said before, just the spine cracked. He was an old man, spine cracked. So why is he considered already dead? Just based on that. You'll ask Akasha, Osam Aisa De'eli, Mefrekes B'loi Rabosa Havoi. So why did he die? Everything more. He was 98 years old. He was halfway. He was half dead already. So all you need, if you're so old and so weak and feeble, so Nishbar HaMefrekes is enough to kill him. Okay. So the Gemara, Zikna Shani, if he's so old, that's a different story. D'chsiv. Vahi Kahaskira Saron Halakim. Someone ran away from the front and they gave a report back to Eli HaKoyin what happened, and he mentioned the Aron HaLakim was Nishba, was taken to captivity. If Eli fell over backwards, Bad Yad Ashar, Bad Tishav HaMefrakto, Bad Yomas, Kizok and Wish, he died. So that's if one is very old. So then, you don't need the right bus. Yeah. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmeinu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah. This is talking about human beings. He talks about Metami Ba'oil. Tami Ba'oil is only a mace. A human being is a Jew, a Goy, whatever it is. Korik, huh? Korik Kedag. How do you cut a fish? I think you take the whole fish and you chop it like this. Yeah. Korik Kedag. Metami Ba'oil is Metami right away means the whole circulatory system collapsed. You cut the body in the middle. Amar Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak Umigaboy. Hastis Megab means at the back. If someone takes a hatchet and he chops into a human body halfway through, so if you chopped off the head, that's a Mishnah. That's the Mishnah in the Holos that they're going to quote. That Hutas Rosho is already Mitami right away. Hutas Rosho by Adam. Hutas Rosho by the Shmona Shvatzim. Here it's not Hutas Rosho, they chopped the body in half. So it's also circulatory system collapsed. So the Rama quotes in Hilchas Tumas Meis, when he's talking about Tumas Odom, Tami Boil is Odom Meis. Umigabai. Amishmol, I saw Gistra. Now he's talking back in a behemoth, not talking about a human being. Because he says Nevela, he doesn't say Meis. If he's talking about a human being, he should say Mitami Boil. Amishmol, I saw Gistra. He takes a knife or a sword. And instead of shechting normally over here, he cuts the animal in half. I saw gistra, so that's already an avela. Even if the animal is jumping around, it's considered an avela. Amar Abba, they're giving cases where the circulatory system collapsed, that the animal is considered dead already. Even though it's still going to jump around for a while, that doesn't prove that there's chiyus. The movement, this kind of movement, doesn't demonstrate any chiyus. Amar Abba, such a similar thing, nitol hayerech v'chol shol haniker is also an avela. This is the Mishnah later, Rashi quotes in Behemam Kasha, in the fourth parak, after Elu Trefa. So the Mishnah says, if the leg is broken by the Tzumas Hagidin is below the knee. So if the leg is broken by the Tzumas Hagidin, then the whole animal is a Trefa. If it's broken above the Tzumas Hagidin or below, so that part that's broken off, you're not allowed to eat. That's the rest of the animal is not a Trefa. It's a funny din. The Gemara says you can't ask Kakasha. How can it be if it's broken by the Tzumas Hagidin? It's a trefa, and if you break it an inch above, it wouldn't be a trefa. If you break the more, the logic should dictate that. So the Gemara says in biology you can't ask any Kakasha. From common sense, common sense doesn't necessarily. Every discipline has its own self-contained system of logic. So just like in halacha, also a lot of times people think it's not logical. It's not logical. If this chemical is red and this chemical is red and you mix them together, each one is calm, and mix them together, it turns yellow and it explodes. Why? Each one is peaceful and nothing was yellow. What? So you can't ask Akasha? Chemistry has its own rules and regulations. Can't ask a kasha, how come each one is peaceful and all of a sudden it explodes? How come the color changes? You have to know each. So and halacha also. Sometimes common sense plays a role, and not necessarily always. Like in other disciplines, common sense. So mostly, you can't ask a kasha. How come over here it's a treif, over here it's not? There, the Rosh, there's a famous Rosh quotes the Ramban, asked the kasha. If the nishbar haregel by the tzumas agidin is a treifa, so let the sheichet use his brains. Don't shecht it now. Take a saw, cut off another inch. So it'll be lemaila min a tzumas agidin. So it won't be a treifa. But the shechting is also tzabachayim. The tzarech bani adam is mutter. So he wants to make a nice treifa. So the Ramban says, enachinami. If the sheikhid has an ounce of brains, he'll use a saw and cut off another inch, and be lemaila mitzumus again, won't be treifa. The Rosh said, what is he talking about? That can't be. Treifa enachazeres lachsheret. That's halacha. Once the animal has already broke a leg in such a way that it's a treifa, that's a dinah macholas asuris. Once it's a treifa, enachazeres lachsheret. That's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, whether treifa chazeres lachsheret or not. Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos about sirchas. What does a sircha represent? So Rashi says, "Ain sircha b'loy nekev." Whenever you have a sircha on the lung, it's an indication that there was a hole in the lung, and a nekev in the lung makes the animal into a treifa. So if there's a sircha, it's an indication that there was a hole in the lung. So it already became a treifa a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So what does it help? If you have a sircha tuluya, you have something, the moisture, the fluid that comes out from the lungs that congeals. Like sometimes you have something oozing out from the skin and it develops like a crust. Yeah. So the sircha is a skin. Yeah. So the fluid that oozes out from a hole in the lung, so the fluid will go out of the lung, and it'll be hanging on like chewing gum. Mm-hmm. So if the sircha will be attached to another lobe in the lung, it'll be hanging from one to the other, so then it makes it into a treifa. But if it's just a sircha tluya, then it won't be a treifa. So why not? But the sircha is an indication that there was an ekev. So ain't sircha below nekev. So Rashi holds, treifa chazer is lach shevi, holds like the Ramban. It healed. It developed the sircha, and it stopped up the hole, and now the animal doesn't have a hole. Only if the sircha is going to be attached to another part of the lung, when the animal is going to inhale, it's going to start ripping apart. So this sircha is not a good tikkun. The sircha was a good tikkun if it's not attached to anything else. It's going to be attached, it's going to start pulling apart when the lobes are going to expand, when the animal breathes in. So then the repair is not a good repair. And Tosis holds that can't be. If you hold ain't sircha below nekev, there already was a nekev, so once the animal became a treif, it can't become chazeres lachsher. So Tay says, no, the klal in the Gemara, sircha has to do with the nekev, means if there is a sircha, sofo lehinokev, it's going to develop a nekev, so it's a treifa al shem sofo. It's also bachil. What do you mean a treifa al shem sofo? Everyone's going to die. Every animal is going to die. So once every animal is an avail al shem sofo, there is no such thing al shem sofo. Tay says, a chidish, that the sircha asses al shem sofo, because it's going to develop a nekev. It's not going to develop. I shechted it already. If I would have not shechted it, I would have let it live a little longer, the sircha would have ripped apart. The sircha is attached from one lobe to the other. When it ripped apart, it would have caused an echem. That's a chiddush that Tyson.
It's not a good question. You have to have no sirchas at all in order to be kosher. Because he can always develop afterwards if he didn't shecht it.
Yeah, yeah. No, that we don't say. We don't say. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this amachal. We assume like the rush. A treifa like the tesis. Treifa ain't a chazeres lachshev. And we assume it's not only a din. A treifis, it's a din of macholas asuris. That once something became macholas asuris, it can't become kosher again. Let's say, for example, there's a prohibition with the rabbanon of bishalakum. If a nochri, let's say my next neighbor is a nice guy, and he comes to my home, and he sees I want to make a barbecue. So he does me a toivah, I'm watching, kosher flesh and kosher kelim, and he broils the steak for me. So that's awesome of the rabbanon to eat it. Because if he's going to make he's going to make the food edible if the food was edible before he cooked it, so I didn't need his toivus that he should cook it for me. But if he made the food edible for me, so we're afraid that I may be so appreciative to him that I'll enjoy his food. I want to have Eved Kekest. I may marry his daughter. One of my children may marry his daughter. And they'll have a problem with chasnut. So they were so concerned, the Tanoim were so concerned about intermarriage. They were right. Look how much, what a high percent of intermarriage we have. So they prohibited Pasakum, if the next day he bakes bread, and Bishalakum, if he cooks the food. Or and they asked Stam Yenim, you're not allowed to drink wine that was processed by God because it may lead to chasnas. Then they added on the other concern. They threw in another concern. Maybe the goy is menasach the wine for Avodah Zarah. That was the secondary concern. Main concern was because of chasnas. So there's a machlokes and rishonim in the following case. Let's say the nochri broiled the steak shlish bishulo kamachal ben nirisoy. He thought that I enjoy rare done, so he makes the steak rare. And then he gives it to me. And I say, I don't enjoy it like this. I'm going to cook it some more. So I put it back on the broiler, and I cook some more. So do you say, since the goy cooked it, it already became bishalakim, it's treif? Treif ain't a chazeres lavshera. But you say, what kind of treif? The chachamim prohibited eating food cooked by a goy, like kissing a shiksa, like dancing with a shiksa, like dating a non-Jewish girl. You're afraid of that chasnas, but it's not an isa macholas asuris. It's an isa hiskarvus to the guy. So the klal doesn't apply. The klal was treif ein achazeres asher by macholas asuris. We assume like the Rosh, not like the Rambam. I assume like the Rosh in the Taisus, the treif ein achazeres lachshera, and not only treif for all macholas asuris. Once it became macholas asuris, it remains also bachila. It's not chayzel lehetera. So that's a big machlekes rishon. We paskin the hakel over there. We paskin that if the nochri cooked the food and it's roy lachila, Michael ben Risoy, and then the Jew continues to cook it more, makes it mevushal kol tzarkei, we paskin then it's chayzel hatera. Why? Because it was never machlekes asuris in the first place. And then there's another machlekes, and the Tshuva Saran writes that it's totally said is there. Let's say you have some bishalakum. The guy made the delicious steak. And the whole thing is bishalakum. And then some of the schmaltz from the steak falls into rice, kosher rice, or some other food, and it gives nesinas tam, but you have a rav heter against the miut of the flavor. So, in kol ha-terakula, there's a din of bitl b'rav. In macholos ha-surah, there's a din of tam ki-iker. If it's nice and tam, then even though you have a rav against it, it's not bottom. So the shayla was over here, is this macholos ha-surah, bishalakum? What motivated the Chachamim to prohibit it is because they were concerned about intermarriage. Yeah. So the Maisa, they said it's an Issa Hiskarva, so they said, no, it's an Issa Macholos Asuris. The motivation is one thing, we're worried about intermarriage, but the Maisa, they declared it as Macholos Asuris. That's a major Machloikis that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Do you need Shishim when you have Bishalakam and it gives Nesina Stamma? They say it's Batal Bereif. We Paskin is Batal Bereif. We Paskin is Batal because it's not Macholos Asuris. He paskin there's no tam kiika because it's not macholos asuris. It's an issa his karbis.
Stam yenim will be the din.
Stam yenim is macholos asuris. Yeah. Stam yenim is different.
Is that soup that goes
correct?
I recook it. It's cold now.
I
won't warm it up.
No, it's already mavushal kol tzarkei. Let's say the guy cooked the steak. He broiled the steak kol tzarkei, and now I take it out of the freezer. I reheat it. That there's no participate. The Jew didn't participate in the bishul at all. But if the goy only cooked it shlish bishul or rare done, then the Jew puts it back on the fire. Does more bishul. So then that's called bishul yisur. It's not called bishul
ak. But the Michael ben Nusoy have a
rule
that
it's
considered
a
full
bishul. If the goy would only cook Michael ben Nusoy, then I'm not allowed to eat it. That's bishalakum. But if a Jew continues to cook it after it already became treif, does it chayzel ha-teroi on the assumption treif ain't a chazeres lachshera? So that's a machlek, as the Ran explained, that's a machlek. What's the nature of bishalakum? Is that they declare it as macholos asuris or no? The reason was because we're concerned about chasnus, and the prohibition is one of his karvus. Yeah. Okay, we'll leave off in the middle. We'll leave that, and next week we'll continue. And this Gemara, there's a famous, next week we'll have to talk, a famous dream that the Orson Meach had. Yeah.
So what about if, maybe similar to the soup question, what about if somebody the bishul, avoided the bishul, and you decided to do tzli, or you know.
I mean, the Nochri did Bishol, and I'm going to do Tzli.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's already.
Is that only by
terrible? Yeah, it's already Roy Lachilu Legamre. So then it's Asa Bachila. It doesn't help if you're going to do another form of Bishol. That's not going to help. By bread, sometimes.
The bagels.
Sometimes people bake bread, and the inside is still a little raw. And then if you bake it again, then you make it more baked. So that's in the Shulchan Aruch also like that. But if the bread was fully baked by the Nochri, and then I want to make a mutton, I toast it, I go weiter. I toast it. It even tastes better now. Yeah, but it was ready, Mavushal Kol Tzarka. It was baked Mavushal Kol Tzarka. So that doesn't help.
When bagels are made that way, are they cooked and they're baked?
Yeah, but when they're cooked, it's not Roy Lachila. No. Let's say the guy will do the first thing, the cooking. They dip it into burning hot water just to give it that texture. But it's not Roy Lachila then. Yeah, in the beginning of Parshas Tetzav, you have all about the big day kuhuna. So some of the big day kuhuna of the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot had shatness in them. So the Rambam's opinion is that the Kohen Hedyot, the minute he finishes doing the Hakrovas HaKamonos, has to take off the Avnet, because the Avnet had shatness in it. Even though there's an Issa Me'ila, and the Begadim belong to Hegdot, should be an Issa Me'ila, should take off all the big day kuhuna right away. So the Rambam says the Me'ila issue is not a problem. The issue only is the shatness. So it's only permissible for the kohen to wear the avnet that has shatnez b'shas avodah. Shlo b'shas avodah not allowed. And the Rambam is pretty clear. The Ravid is more. The Rambam is pretty clear. It's only by kohen hedyot. Kohen gadol has several begadim that have shatnez. Kohen gadol is not a problem. He can wear the big dikuna with the shatnez all day long. Why is there a difference? So the Beis Halevi has a famous explanation. He says, it says in this week's Sedra that the Kohen Gadol has to wear the tzitz. What's the purpose of the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz? Yeah. V'nos aronos avoyin ha-kadoshim. V'yam etzach aron tome. V'nos aronos avoyin ha-kadoshim. V'she'akdisha b'nei Yisrael l'chol matzos kachem. Very unclear in the pasuk. So the Tanoim explain what's going on. They had a tradition, obviously. Tanoim explain what's going on. If you bring a korban in a state of tumah, either the korban was tummy, the dam was nitma, or the kohen did the avodah is tummy. So if you bring a korban with tumah, it's pasul. But if the kohen gadol was wearing the tzitz at the time, that's the question, at which time? At the time that you were makriv the korban, or at the time that the korban became nitma? That's a machlok. Rashi says the funny way. Rashi says at the time the korban became nitma. The Shulchan Aruch says, why should it depend when the Kohen came in? Should it depend? The Gvura Sari on Yuma says, not when it did, but when you were makriv it. I would have said, like the Shulchan Aruch also. So if the Kohen Gadol was wearing the tzitz, then the korban is kosher b'diavad. L'chatchili shouldn't be makriv kavanos in the state of tumah, even if the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz all day long. But b'diavad, if you did it, then the korban will be kosher. When Asa Aaron is Abana Kadoshim, it doesn't say which pasul of korban. The Gemara works out by process of elimination, it can only go on the psul tumah. So the Beis Halevi says, all the big dekuna makvim says, let's say the Kohen Hedyot, the Kohen Gadol want to be makriv a korban, and he's only wearing some of the begadim. Kohen Gadol wears shmoinim begadim, and Kohen Hedyot wears arba'a begadim. Let's say the Kohen Hedyot will only wear three begadim. So the mechusa begadim is the korban will be pasul if he's makriv. The Kohen Gadol has to wear shmoinim begadim, he's only wearing four, he's only wearing seven out of the eight, that'll be pasul. So the Beis Halevi assumes in the Shuvas that for the tzitz to be meratze on the pasul of karbonos that were offered betumah, you have to wear the Kohen Gadol should be wearing all the shmoneh begadim. So you want the Kohen Gadol to wear all the begadim all day long, because just in case the karbon will be offered in the state of tumah. So a kohen hedyot, the value of wearing the big dekun is only when he's actually oisik in hakrovas hakarbonos. So the second he finishes the avoda, has to take off the gartle, has to take off the abnet, because it has shatnas in it. But the Kohen Gadol, we want the Kohen Gadol to wear the begadim all day long in order to be meratze in case any korban will be brought betumah. And the tzitz is not good alone. You need the tzitz with the other seven begadim together. That's what the Beis Halevi says. Others are not so convinced about that. The Beis Halevi quotes Rabbein Tam and Taisus. He says, not like him. He says, the tzitz alone. Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz alone. When he's makriv karbonos, he has to wear all the shmoneh begadim. But the tzitz is meratzeh. Tzitz accomplishes that the korban that's brought betumah will be acceptable, will be kosher. He only has to wear the tzitz, does not have to wear the rest. So if one should assume like the Rabbi Natam, how do you explain the Rambam? Basically, Leib assumes the Rambam doesn't agree with the Rabbi Natam. So Rav Soloveitchik thought it's a, you can say a different explanation than the Rambam. You don't necessarily have to assume the Rambam disagrees with the Rabbi Natam quoted by Tosfos. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Klei HaMikdosh, he writes about all the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdosh, then he says the Kohen Gadol is considered like one of the fixtures in the Beis HaMikdosh, and he writes Kvoda v'sefarta of the Kohen Gadol to be in the Beis HaMikdosh all day long, even though he's not being makar with any karbonos at all. So the mitzvah of wearing big dekuna is mata the issei kalayim, but the mitzvah of wearing big dekuna is different by Kohen Gadol than from Kohen Hedyon. By Kohen Hedyon, the mitzvah to wear big dekuna is only b'shas avoda. Shlo b'shas avoda, there's no mitzvah. So the minute he finishes the avoda, he has to take off the abnet, which has the shatnes. The Kohen Gadol, the Rambam says, Kvoda v'sefarta is to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long. He has the mitzvah to wear the big dekuna all day long. So the mitzvah of wearing big dekuna is mata the issei kalayim. Not because you need all the shmoneh begadim to be meratz. It could be the tzitz alone is meratz. The Rambam sounds very much like that. That the mitzvah of wearing the kohen for the Kohen Gadol is different from the mitzvah of the Kohen Hed. Okay. Maybe next week we'll talk in Yari Purim.
Have a
bad call.
Thank you.
Yes. I heard something strange. Yeah. We got to remember all the details. If some kind of something, I don't know what the incident was, some kind of incident, and the rub said something. Oh, it's awesome. And then this was somebody telling me. And I remember that. And supposedly, the rub called over Moshe and asked if he passed one correctly. Do you have anything like that?
Not so much.
I can't remember the whole story, but it sounded strange even at the lunch you called Moshe to ask if he passed it correctly. Did I try it?
They used to talk on the phone.
Oh, no, I used to talk on the phone, but yeah, you don't like that, yeah.
Before Yantar, they used to alternate. Who calls them? They didn't tell the Rav their emotion passed away.
Yeah, I heard that.
I heard that story.
I don't know. It doesn't seem something like the Rav would do.
That's funny.
Yeah. That's not funny. I can't remember who told it to me.
Yeah. Bumped into your wife today in the OU office.
Oh.
That's the right nice letter.
I'm not sure she knew who I was.
I'll tell her.